Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round heads in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people are crazy enough to think they can change the world, they are the ones who do. This is Instant Inspiration, Dr. Herbert O'Byrley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California. That's quite a mouthful there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round heads in the square holes, the ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them, but the only thing you can't do is to ignore them. Because they change things. They push the human race forward, and while some may see them as crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people are crazy enough to think that they can change the world, they are the ones who do. This was in an Apple computer publication. Quite an amazing statement. And it's very true. When you have a child who is hyperactive, you can expect there's a fabulous genius inside. They're just waiting to get uncorked. If you have a child who is a sleepy one, there's a fabulous genius in there too, waiting to get uncorked, but he needs to have a little bit of oxygen. He needs to have a little bit of a kick in the butt, a little reminder that, hey, life goes to those who are excited about life. Now, are we excited about life?
Yes.
We think we are, but are we excited enough about life to really get involved with things? Are we involved with thinking things that are important? Not that you should think the way I think. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm just saying, here are some things to think about. Have you thought about the Iraqi war? And have you said, there now is peace on earth, and it has begun with me? Now, answer me. Have you thought about the Iraqi war?
Yes.
Well, you shouldn't have.
No, I wanted just to say not about the war, but about peace.
I asked you, have you thought about the Iraqi war? And you said, yes. You see, this is what we do. We, without thinking, speak up and say yes to things that we don't believe. And it's a foolish thing. It's a foolish thing. And you know why it's foolish? It's foolish because we don't think. Seek ye first all things, and the kingdom of God will be added unto you.
No.
That one is a real dilly. People bite on that all the time. And of course, people bite on it because it sounds so right. And of course it is right. It's just in a little reverse action. Honor your father and your mother. Now, why didn't they say honor your mother and your father? Because it was a patriarchal world. And the patriarchal world always put the man first. Now, if this were a matriarchal world, we'd say, honor your mother. But now mother gets a lot of first-class work because her apple pie, mother, God, apple pie, and mother. You know, those are respected things that every person goes to war to fight for that. To fight for the purity of apple pie and mother and government. Interesting. Now, we're talking here about the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the ones who just don't fit in the organized program of the world. Well, now, if anyone had said 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that we would have, that we would have some fantastic things going on our desk, and that we would not be having typewriters, and we would be sitting there looking at picture screens, and we would be getting stories from people around the world right in our nose over the internet. We would never have believed such a thing. It was impossible. And before the light bulb was designed, who would ever think that we would have lights all over the city, lighting up the city, enough to think we're lighting our homes, you know. But you see, this is the action that the rebel is made out of. The crazy ones are made out of. This is the action that the people who's a round head and a square hole, at least they probably fit. But the thing is, this is what it takes to be a live one. Now, I say to you, I see you each as a spiritual master. And you say, oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah, you can say that, Herb, because, you know, you're a spiritual master. Yeah, 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 yeah. Stop it. Stop that. I see you as a spiritual master because that's what you are. Now, you don't see yourself that way yet because you think that you have a few problems. And because you're concentrating on those few problems. If the idiots, crazy ones, and misfits, and rebels, and troublemakers were thinking of the problem, they would never be the great ones of the world. Because it takes someone who concentrates on the solution, who concentrates on the imagination, who concentrates on the wisdom of the world. Now, we read about this executive here in Atherton who had a $28 million home, and he's selling it after leaving his CEO job. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. But why is he selling it? It would seem because he needed the money. But he's quite wealthy. He's quite wealthy. The money was inconsequential. It's just that he no longer wanted that toy. Can you ever not want a toy?
Mm-hmm.
Can you ever not want to have some big chain around your neck and be free?
Yeah.
But you see, that's all that is. They say he didn't sell it because of money. And people say, well, what did he sell it for? He sold it because he no longer had an interest in it. He built it and built it. I worked in real estate. When I got to the top of my real estate sales, earning a great amount of money every year, selling houses worth millions of dollars by four or five times a year or more, with a great take-home on that. It wasn't $1 million, but great take-home. And I was very wealthy. I was a very wealthy real estate salesman. And I got tired of it. So I went back into my newspaper publishing and my magazine publishing things, and that was much more fun. It's much more challenging and much more entertaining. In selling houses, it's just merely a matter of you knowing your property, loving your property, having only a few listings that you really love. You have more, but you a few at a time. And then you go out and you create the people who are interested in those listings. You go out and you talk around to people, and they say, yeah, we're interested in buying a house, but, you know, it has to be da da da. And so you just tell them what this house is. Don't show them a lot. Just tell them what this house is and how wonderful it is and how great it is for raising their family and what have you. And they buy it. They buy it out of eagerness because they say, yes, that's just what I wanted. And they had no idea that's what they wanted. No idea at all. Because the idea that they had was having a modest little house that they lived in cheapy and that they could afford. I sold them a big house that they could live in inexpensively and they could afford it. Just put it out over a longer term of time, you know, but they could afford it. Now, other salesmen were selling it based upon how they classified these people, what they felt they were. But the idiots, the geniuses, the crazy ones, just because a guy comes in and he doesn't have the first and last payment on the house, you know, for renting an apartment, that doesn't mean anything. You want to have a house of your own? What kind of job you got? You got enough money to pay so much a month? Yep. Okay, let's put you in a house. But I don't have any down payment. I don't have this. Hey, no problem. Money is easy on the market right now. They will pay you to move in, and they will do this and that. They want to get rid of these properties. They want to get it off their back and get it on somebody else's, you know. And you're signing up for the note, you do have a job, you can handle these things, no problem. And they, oh, nobody ever talked to us like that. Well, nobody's that crazy. Nobody's that much of an idiot. Nobody's that much of a round peg in a square hole, you know, because I dreamed with my people. And I got done dreaming. Then I went on to do other things in dreaming. And every place I dreamed, I had a lot of fun. And every time I stopped doing anything, it was really because I was no longer interested. And that's the fun of it. I was writing for a magazine, and it didn't take much time. I wrote in the morning and the evening and the afternoons every day. I'd take the sailboat and go out and sail out into the ocean with my real estate books and study them and get my broker's licenses in California and stuff, and then go back and do things. It was wonderful. And I'd go to the yacht club, and I'd take their course in I forget the name of it, but you take this course on how to sail, not how to sail, but what the rules of the road are, you know. And you have to know how to sail in a bay. You have to know how to sail in the ocean. You got to know which lights are on which side of the boat and which way where the buoys are. So you come in on the right side of the buoy, not the wrong side, and you crash yourself. But, of course, the little boat that I sailed, it was no problem. But with some of the bigger boats, they had a deeper draft, and they had to be very careful. But we learned all this. Mark went with me. He went to the real estate school with me, Lumblow Real Estate School. He went to the yacht club with me, and he enjoyed that. And he went to Science of Mind classes with me, studying the Science of Mind, Science of Mind textbook, first course, you know. And he was always there, and it was wonderful. He learned a great deal. We all learned a great deal. We kept adding to our great fonts of knowledge. But you see, it's the idiots that do these things. Other people say, well, I got to get the babysitter for him, you know. Oh, why? You know, he likes to be with me. I like to have him with me. He was, 8, 10 years old or whatever it was. And we had a lot of fun together. And he was learning. And he'd ask questions, which made me learn even more. But you see, this is what the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers do. This is what the people who are out, not necessarily to change things, that's a term that might be misunderstood, but they're out to do things, to be themselves and have fun. And I think that's the best word, rather than change things. Be yourself and have fun. When you get out there and you start projecting what's inside of you, you start living that magic that's inside of you, and you start sharing it and talking about it and sharing it around and being it. It's fun. It's fun. And people come up to you and say, you're crazy, you know that? Yeah, isn't that nice? You know? I'm happy you noticed. It takes one to know one. Yeah? But I don't say that, because everyone who recognized that I was different appreciated it. And those who didn't appreciate, they didn't recognize it. They didn't. If they didn't appreciate it, they didn't recognize it, did they?
No.
They could, yeah. So, but everywhere I went, men, women, children, educators, politicians, you name it, had a great time together, had lots of fun. And we were in between sales on real estate. You know, real estate isn't always on the top. We were in between sales when I was first starting out. And while we were in between sales, I had two cars, and I had Mark had three airplanes, a Taylor craft, and I had my Swift, and we had the EAA biplane that he was building piece by piece in the dining room, hanging it from the ceiling. And then he had four cars. He had a Volkswagen, he had a Cadillac, he had a Chrysler, and something else that we call it. But anyhow, and he would work in the snack shop after school to earn enough money so that he could pay for the gas to fly his plane. And he just had a ball with it. And from the age of 13 up to 16, he just had a ball. And he did wonderful things. But you see, he's a nut. He's crazy. Well, right now, he's designing engines that are pollution-free, engines that are 4 inches thick, weigh 18 inches across, and weigh about 40 to 60 pounds. And they burn different types of fuel, diesel or gas or whatever. And they're very efficient, and they're equivalent to 85 to 100 horsepower. And you can't find anything in the world like that. And he's got a lot of people already interested in investing in him, doing these things, but that doesn't make a big difference to him. He still flies off to the air shows because he loves it in this ultralight airplanes that he designs. And he sells them at the air shows and just has a ball. But he has guys building these things, and he oversees it, how they build it, and checking every weld and everything. But he's back at his computer working on his 3D design for the engines that he works on. He's a nut. He's crazy. He's stupid. He's wonderful. He's doing his own thing, being himself and having fun. And he married a woman who he met on the internet, and he visited her in Florida when he'd go to fly-ins there, and they both love the same thing. She just loves puttering in the office, doing all the necessary things there, and he loves puttering in his office, drawing, and going out in the shop and doing things. And right now, she's writing a manual for the thing and going around taking photographs of every part, every little screw that goes in, every little thing, and writing a definition of it and how it's to be done. So whoever gets the buys his kits, they know exactly how to do it from point to point to point to point to point. It's going to be quite a big book, you can be sure, with every little screw and every little rivet and stuff, I guess, that goes in it. But she's nuts, you know? She's nuts if she thinks that she can show people by illustration how to do things and have it work. Or is she?
No.
You know? Is she? The nuts are the people who don't bother to do it. And then when people have errors and problems, then they blame it on the people. You know? Yeah, well, you see, we used to have nuts running our government, and they would let people fly planes without any experience. And they had a lot of crashes, and people died and did the other things. Not a lot, because not a lot of people were flying. But percentage-wise, there was quite a few. Today, the rules and regulations are quite strict, and you have to learn all about all of the rules of the road for flying in the sky and landing techniques and staying away from certain airports and not going near military airports and other things that you're supposed to stay away from. And that's quite technical, quite busy, quite demanding. But when a man has a dream or a woman has a dream, nothing stops him from doing it. Ellen went out and took her written test and her flight test for solo and so forth, and she passed everything. And that was very complex. And at the same time, she was running the University of Healing here. She was writing columns. She was visiting all over the country. And she was just being Miss Everywhere. And she did not feel stressed because she was doing something she loved to do, being herself and having fun. Now you say, well, why couldn't we do that? But you don't want to. You never express the desire to do these things. And whenever I suggest something for you to do, you say, I got enough to do. I'm happy with what I'm doing. And that's fine. That's fine. Some of you say you want to go out and lecture and speak to people around the world. I say, well, lecture here. Show me how well you lecture. Well, in front of you, it's tough. Well, then forget it. Forget it. If you can't lecture in front of me and give your very best, hey, I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to give you ways of being better and support you. But if you're not so all fired up, you just have to do it, you won't be a success at it. So whatever turns you on, whatever makes your heart soar, whatever gives you music in your soul, go for it. Because you're the crazy one then. But the crazy ones are the ones who accomplish great and wonderful things. And every crazy one that I've ever met, I'm behind them 100%. And I've visited many insane asylums, many mental institutions, and worked with patients there. And I was always utterly amazed to see how intelligent these people are and how balanced these people are on their program of being insane. They want to appear that way because they don't want to go out into life and face whatever the world has to give them. There are people who say that that's not true. But as long as they're on their pills, on their medication, they're in limbo land, they're happy. And they're dreaming. And they're vegetables. But that's life. If you were to get them out and give them a jazz up pill to get them going, really get them sparkling, you'd find that these would be the leaders of our world. Because they just turned it off for some reason. Some hurt, some gene went wrong, or some chromosome was not quite properly placed. But that's all being studied today and being readjusted. Because within every being is the divine. Within every being is a magic man, magic woman. Within every being is a crazy one, the misfit, the rebels, the troublemakers, the people who do things and have fun. Well, you guys have a lovely life. I surround you with my pure white light of love, and I see you being crazy and wonderful and fantastic and knowing it and being in charge of yourself.
Thank you.
I love you.
Love you.
Love you.